Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 12th of March. It's good to have you with me as we journey through Galatians 3. I want to thank those of you who have let us know what an impact the podcast is making in your life. We've been getting a lot of feedback, very positive feedback, on the Galatians study. I think we've tapped into a book that, well, it certainly has been one of Paul's more popular writings for all of the Christian history. But I think in this hour where grace is undergoing a real revolution, the church itself a revolution of grace, a bloodless revolution, but liberty nonetheless, I think Galatians speaks to so much of that, that a lot of people have rediscovered its beauty. And so this journey through Galatians 3 has been a spectacular one, both in terms of understanding the writer, the Apostle Paul, and understanding the covenant that we're in, because that's really what this is all about. We are in Galatians 3, going to jump into 19 today. We don't really yet, or let me say it better, we haven't really yet arrived at what could be Paul's most vital moment of covenantal teaching. That'll come up in the fourth chapter. I think we've certainly arrived at the most pivotal stuff Paul would ever write, and I think we did that way back at the end of chapter 2. I started really trying to emphasize the importance of some of the stuff you were getting into way back around Galatians 2:20. For the last chapter's worth of material, you've been hearing things that set precedent within the Christian faith, particularly that entire teaching on Christ being made the curse. This was unprecedented stuff. When I read Peter's epistle and he writes to his audience that they should take special heed to the things being written by their brother Paul, I can't help but think that the stuff contained in the third and the fourth chapters of Galatians have got to be on Peter's mind when he writes that. We don't know what exactly he was talking about, but by the time Peter writes his letter, Paul's stuff is pretty popular. Well, we arrive at another one of those moments in Galatians 3 where Paul lays out a way of thinking that for us is now commonplace, but for those at that time was certainly not commonplace. 19th verse of Galatians 3, Paul starts with a very important question, and it is really the kickoff point for most grace teaching. What purpose then does the law serve? Notice that there's some italicized words here. I want to make sure we understand that the original Greek here, or the earliest Greek that we have, might have posed this a bit differently. I'm reading New King James. What purpose then does the law serve? That makes it look like there is a reason for the law in Paul's day, and I don't think that's what he's saying. I think Paul is dealing with the law in a past tense sense, because the word does and the word serve are not in the original Greek. It would have been closer to what purpose then the law. And I think he's actually giving a timing word with the word then. What purpose then was the law? Read through a more English modern rendering, it makes it sound like Paul's trying to argue for a modern purpose of the law within his day. But I don't think he was. I think he wants to let his audience know that the law had a purpose. Because remember, in the greater context, he's trying to prove to his audience that Moses' law could not supersede Abraham's promise. What purpose does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Whole lot of stuff to unpack in the 19th verse. I'm not going to try to unpack it all today, but I want to make sure we at least try to answer the question. Paul will say it was added because of transgressions. That's going to take us down a whole other road. I don't even want to get into that today. I want to save that for tomorrow, where we deal with what was the transgressions and how can you have transgressions if you don't have law. There's almost a paradox there, which we'll tackle. But I want to show you how Paul answers this. He answers it immediately in 19, but then he answers it with his greater context deeper in the passage. Let's read it again. What purpose was the law for? Look down at 22. The Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Now, in 19, he's going to tell us it was added because of transgressions. And again, tomorrow we'll talk about what those are. But that doesn't tell us why the law. That tells us why it was added. We want to know what its purpose is in the life of someone in the Old Testament. And the answer is that 22nd verse. It confined them all under sin. The law made sure that everyone realized they were a sinner. What is that? Why do we need that, though, honestly? Because if man is going to deal with the chaos of his life, he's going to need to deal with his inability to overcome the snake. When Adam and Eve face the serpent in the garden, they lose a war of words. Paul is concerned that the Corinthian church will lose a war of words with the devil. Remember, he says, I fear that he would bewitch you. He would rather deceive you, as the serpent deceived Eve, away from the simplicity of Christ. And so ours is a speaking faith. It's what we know about ourselves. We have an identity of who we are. And so if we don't communicate it, deal with it, realize who we are, we're going to have an issue. The law gave us a parameter to live by, but it exposed the fact that we had chaos in our lives, and we need to learn to deal with that. So the law was really to expose the fact that we were all sin. Paul would say in the book of Romans, to declare everyone guilty and shut our mouths before God. The law really stops us from trying to confront our own issues without a Savior. We need a Redeemer. And the law exposes us to the fact that we need the Redeemer, who is the Logos. He is the Word of God. That's Jesus wrapped in, that's God wrapped in human flesh named Jesus. We need Him and His ability to overcome. And the law exposes that nakedness in all of us. Now, we'll start unpacking the details of Paul's answer in Galatians 3:19 tomorrow. We'll see you then. God bless.